Welcome to TBHolic.com's exclusive interview with Saul Rubinek of Sci-Fi's Warehouse 13. I had a chance to talk with him after the Warehouse 13 panel at Comic-Con on Saturday, July 25th, 2009.
So is this going to be a live blog or is it print?
I may put the, since I'm actually getting the chance to ask a question, I may just put it out audio for people to listen to. So one of my least favorite things is actually transcribing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Let me even put this closer. Get a good sound. Look at this little thing.
Yeah, okay. For me, I've seen you in do lots of like guest star on TV series and like Leverage and things like that recently. And stuff like that. What was it about this show that made you want to take on a full-time series?
Well, I want to take on a full-time series in order to support my family, but only if it's a series that you can, you know, I felt that I would enjoy. I had to travel a long way away and be apart from my family quite a bit in order to do it. So I've turned them down before, even though I need to support my family. I'm a lucky actor. I'm a working actor, and I've been doing it a long time. So I wasn't actually looking for a series as much as I was stuff that I'm always looking for things where I feel there's going to be a mutual collaboration. In this particular case, it had to have a lot to offer because of the distance that I had to travel. And there was an openness, and there remains an openness on the part of the studio, the network, the writers, the production team, for the actors to collaborate. So it's not a rigid system. It's a lot of fun. I have great co-stars. I'm working with a wonderful team of writers, and my boss, Jack Kenny and David Simpkins, are great. And I can tell you that the network and studio executives are as collaborative and as involved, or we wouldn't be successful. We would not be getting the promotion that we've gotten. We wouldn't have the numbers. We wouldn't have as good a show. They're unlike network television, where they have a replacement for every show that just fades a little bit. We don't have a lineup of people wanting to take our place or able to. They're not there. They have a deeper investment in the shows that they create than network. Way, way, way less material and a deeper involvement in it. So that is attractive. When you're working 15 hours a day, you want to be with people who care about your show, who are going to put their money where their mouths are, and their commitment behind the show. And that we got that on every level. That's why I did it.
Okay, you mentioned you're going to be getting in the panel. You mentioned you're going to be getting a sort of a Moriarty, sort of a nemesis. So how does that change the dynamic of
everything?
The
it changes everything in your show. Suddenly the stakes are much higher. All our lives are at risk. The warehouse itself is at risk. It can become corrupted, and corrupted deeply. And by having a dark character, you know, based in the reality of our show, not somebody who's a monster, but a human being, and not an alien. You know, we're not going to be attacked by an alien race. We're not going to be dealing with the same problems that Stargate Universe or Caprica is going to deal with. Here we're dealing with the power of the warehouse itself attracts dark forces, just as any powerful place that has secrets will attract dark forces. The Pentagon will attract dark forces. Sometimes the people that run it are the dark forces. So sometimes your own Secretary of Defense is the dark force. Well, here, the warehouse has been around for over 3,000 years, and it's the 13th incarnation of the warehouse. And our particular warehouse has every artifact gathered from all those 3,000 years, whether it started in Egypt and went through the Babylonian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, Greek, Roman, British, Russian, finally in the American Empire, because we were in a nation that is powerful enough to support and control the warehouse. The people that run it, the regents, which you'll get to meet in our show, who actually are Mrs. Frederick's boss, those regents throughout time have made decisions about where the warehouse needs to be. So it's attracted throughout time its dark forces, whether it's one individual or a group of individuals, people who feel that those objects in the warehouse could have uses both for nefarious ends and they themselves, very often the dark forces, as you know from history, the dark forces don't consider themselves evil. They consider themselves idealists. You know what I'm saying? They think that there's a better way. And they think that in order to make an omelet, you got to break eggs. And sometimes if you're the egg, you don't want to be broken. So,
is there a favorite artifact or that you've got to work in the show so far?
There have been a few. The one that's coming up on Tuesday, which is a compass, Redicus's compass, that deals with teleportation, is beautifully made and a great artifact. But every single one of them, I had one that I loved, but it was only used for 10 seconds. And that was a 1930s type camera that if you take a picture of someone, they turn into a two-dimensional cardboard cutout.
Great.
And then you take the picture again and they come back to life. It was brilliant. It was a great artifact.
Well, they're pulling you away, but one quick one. The cookies plays cookies play a role through the show. Do you have, what's your favorite cookie?
My wife's chocolate chip cookies are the best.
Thanks.